we realize that they had a tremendous thankfulness for what God has done. Looking over at chapter 4, in verse 3, after they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next evening, for it was already evening. They have gone through false accusation, and there they were in verse 13 at the council. They continued testifying and speaking about the Lord, never once letting go of Christ, never blaming God, never calling God as their enemy. In chapter 4, they have the threatenings, and they never complain. A lot of people get a few criticisms, they give up. A few people, they lost a few friends, and because they started walking closer with God, and people don't understand them, persecute them with words, they give up. They went on in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. These are apostles, it says, and they agreed with him, and when they called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. They got a beating. After the beating in verse 41, they departed from the presence of the council, and they rejoiced that they were worthy to suffer for Jesus. It was a privilege to suffer for Jesus. It was a privilege to have the rods come on them because of their love for Jesus. What a powerful type of Christianity that they demonstrated. Now compare to Job. Now we understand why Job is not the pattern to follow. In the book of Job, chapter 19, verse 11, Job started calling God and saying God made him his enemy. Look at the difference in the Old Testament. And then we have here, in chapter 23, verse 16, he says, God made my heart weak, and the Almighty terrifies me. Now his image, God with the big stick, the eyes staring at him, teeth gnashing, and now terrifying him. That was his image. They need to be renewed. And so these things were happening in Job's life. And as we consider Job and how he was being pressured from pressure to pressure, and he was now desperate, he had lost hope, he called and he says all kinds of things, hate his own life, curse himself, gave up hope. All these things that a New Testament believer is not supposed to do. But what Job demonstrated for us up to that point was what any natural man would do. What Job said and what Job did was what any natural, righteous, good man would say and do. And the deliverance for Job only came when there were some changes made. But before the changes made, a fourth person came into the picture. His name was Elihu. Now if you notice what the book of Job tells us, God rebuked all the friends of Job except Elihu. That tells us something, that what Elihu said has some substance. In the book of Job chapter 42, verse 9, so Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job, and the Lord restored them. And notice in verse 7, Eliphaz the Temanite was rebuked. And same with the other two friends. The only friend not rebuked was Elihu. So we realize that there's some substance of what Elihu said. And Elihu here points to the Lord Jesus Christ in his statement about the Redeemer. Let's look at some of the things that Elihu mentioned. There are five things. Now here is where the mystery of suffering is answered. Elihu tells us, and in his statement, he is different from the other three friends. He did not just imply sin, although sin may have been the cause. See, one of the things is there's something bad about you, something wrong about you, or some sin that has happened. That's why all these things have happened. The most natural conclusion people have. Like the disciples of Jesus who saw the blind man and say, Lord, who sinned? This man or his parents? See, the disciples who were with Jesus when they asked that question were still having Job's mentality, Eliphaz's mentality, Bildad's mentality, Zophar's mentality. But Elihu was a different person. Elihu makes five statements about suffering that we need to consider. First of all, chapter 33, after he introduced himself in chapter 32, chapter 33 verse 6, Elihu says, Truly I am as your spokesman before God. I also have been formed out of clay. He is the only one of the friends who said, Job, I am on the same level as you. See, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus. He doesn't come as a judge, while Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar came as a judge. But Elihu came as a brother. Do you know the Lord Jesus didn't come as our judge? He came as our fellow man to die for us. He is only going to come as a judge in the last days. When this age and generation, the time has come. When He comes again. But Jesus came first as our brother, our fellow man. So Elihu is different. Elihu puts himself at the same level as Job. I'm your brother, I'm as clay. So, you are clay, so am I. Secondly, we see in verse 12 and 13 of chapter 33. Look in this, you are not righteous, I will answer you. In other words, Job, you did say a few things wrong. God is greater than man. Why do you contend with Him? For He does not give an accounting for any of His words. In other words, his second point, we must accept that on this earth, we cannot understand all things. Now, to accept that is already difficult. To accept the fact that we cannot understand all things. And he's saying, Job, before we go further, we must acknowledge that God is so huge and so big and His mind is so great. That we cannot understand everything He explains to us. There are different levels altogether. It's just like level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4. Perhaps at level 1 you learn arithmetic. Level 2 you learn mathematics. Level 3 you begin to learn some of the pure mathematics. And level 4 you begin to learn tonsil calculus and fractal mathematics. The person who is at level 4, who understands how to do calculus and fractal mathematics and matrices in maths, in all the depths of the pure maths, will understand everything that level 1 studied. But the person at level 1 cannot understand everything. Some of you open a pure maths book, you see that funny sign all over, you say, don't know what is this. And you give up. So we realize there are different levels of understanding. Now God is so huge and our human language is so little. The second fact that our friend Elihu said is this. We must accept that there are some things God does that He does not explain. And He did not need to explain. Although sometimes He does. And the third fact. Is over here in chapter 33, verse 29 and 30, it says, and this is a very important statement, it says, Behold, God works all these things twice, in fact three times with a man, to bring back his soul from the pit, that he may be enlightened with the light of life, with the understanding of life. This is an important statement. Number three, he says, There could be a higher purpose to the suffering than just having to do with sin. Alright? Now that must be taken in context. There could be some higher purpose. Now how you explain the higher purpose is important. Because some people will think that every time they're sick, oh, there's a lesson to learn in this. Right? You could take that wrongly also. But as I said, if you have outlined it correctly, there are some temptations that you go in by yourself. There's not much lesson except to get out quickly. And learn not to get into it again. But there are some areas where there are lessons. You know, let me explain, for example. We know that it's God's will to heal all. But to explain to people why God heals some instantly and why God heals some gradually is a big theology in itself. We know that God heals, but for some the healing takes a period of time, for some it's instant. We could explain it, of course, by the anointing and the level of anointing. That's one explanation. But another way to look at it is here, that while we are interested in our immediate relief from our symptoms, God is interested in our life. Sometimes when He looks at our life, and He could look at you, maybe He thinks that you're like Kenneth Hagin. He could have healed you instantly, but instead He chose to bring healing into your life through your gradual confession and exercise of faith. Where over a period of 1 year to 2 years, you receive perfect health. Because He saw down the line that through your getting healing in that way, you become a tremendous person to help others later. And you become a better person. So, He looks at our entire life while we look at our immediate symptoms. So this is one of the areas I'm talking about, their higher purpose. I'm not talking about a wrong type where you have to get into problem and out of everything you try to learn a lesson out without realizing the two categories. And we all muddle up. The fourth area, chapter 35. The whole of chapter 35, He corrects Job for his self-righteousness. He says, Job, it's wrong for you to react to God like this. And the fourth thing is this, that he's saying, we must all learn to yield and to submit. Remember that everything that Elihu said applies only to temptations or trials and sufferings that are allowed by God. Okay? Let me take the first qualification. We're not talking about a wrong category. If you take these 5 points and you put it on the wrong category, you get wrong conclusions. These 5 only apply to the temptations or trials that He allowed. Those that He disallowed in your life, these 5 points do not apply anymore. Secondly, in the New Testament, there is a difference. Because in the New Testament, there is a provision for the complete redemption from sicknesses and diseases. And the suffering of sicknesses and diseases are no more present in the New Testament church. There is still suffering, but it's not the suffering of sickness and disease anymore. Because Jesus, in Matthew 8:17, has borne our sicknesses and diseases on the cross. So there is the second difference. Now having understand that thing, and the fourth point, man submits reluctantly. And when the pressure is on, how submitted we are, and our submissiveness and meekness is really tested. In other words, Elihu was saying, meekness comes through suffering. Character and patience come through suffering. And what he said is scriptural. Paul said that in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. Tribulation brings forth perseverance and patience and brings forth character. And the last thing is in chapter 35, verse 11 also. And chap- chapter 35, verse 11. It says, who teaches us more? Chapter 36, verse 22. Behold, God is exalted by His power, who teaches like Him. Who teaches like Him? In chapter 37, verse 24. Therefore, men fear Him. He shows no partiality to any who are wise of heart. And the fifth thing is that we must draw on His teaching. Instead of, He's telling Job, Job, this is not the way to act when suffering comes. The way you should do is submit to God and open your ears to hear God for His instructions.